الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. One is, we should always refresh our intention, which we discussed over 3 days, our intention, and it should be embedded in us. That one is you make an intention, one is you live an intention. In order to understand that, a person, for example, has got a button factory. So he doesn't make every morning the intention, I have to go to my button factory, I've got a button factory, I must go and operate it, I must produce buttons, etc. It's in his blood. He knows it's in the forefront of his mind. He gets up on time, he goes, he doesn't have to ask directions of how to get to, he knows exactly his button factory. When he opens the locks, he knows the keys exactly. He doesn't have to, it's in him, ingrained in him. And this person, this is his object in life, his button factory. He will do namazas also. He's a pious person, he's a Muslim, but everything more important, his button factory, that he'll keep in mind. I have to be 7 o'clock at my button factory, winter fajr is up at 6, jamaat, I won't make it in time. So he'll adjust his fajr time to be there at 7 o'clock, I must open my factory. Everything he'll do, close his factory also, his asr time he will adjust, his maghrib time he will make earlier, later, but his button factory is important to him. And, for example, he'll go for Hajj also, and he'll see the dates. This, during these 10 years, or for 5 years, that time what Hajj is coming, the demand of my button factory is very great. I get big orders, so I won't go now. I'll go after 5 years when it's a quiet period in my button factory. So he'll go for Hajj also, but he'll adjust it according to his button factory. His daughter is getting married, or his son is getting married, wedding date they will set. He'll see to that also. But he say, these dates, out of the question. My button factory, these days heavy orders I get. I have to be here. But the quiet period, he'll arrange it. We'll have it 2 months later, 3 months. So everything, he'll go for Hajj also himself. And he'll make everything. He'll go to Muzdalifah, Mina, Arafat. He'll go to Hajar al-Aswad also. He'll make dua at Multazam. But all the time his eyes on the buttons of the people. That can I make a market here? My buttons, will I get a market here? And he'll speak to people also while in Hajj. Before namaz, after namaz. He'll speak everything. But he won't forget also that can I make a contact? He'll have his business card with him also. Can I make a contact? Can I open somebody to sell my buttons in Indonesia? Somebody, so he's gone for Hajj, but in his mind is his button factory. How to promote my button factory? So his whole life revolves around his button factory. Like that, many people, whatever, you got a socks factory. You're just looking at the feet of people who are wearing socks, who wear summer socks, who wear winter socks, nylon socks, woolen socks. My idea is just there. All the time your eyes are on the feet of people and see what kind of socks. And if you see anyone wearing your factory socks, there's no limit to your happiness. So that person, he does everything in life, but according to his socks factory, according to his button factory. And he doesn't have to be reminded also that, see, you got a button factory and you have to give preference to it, you have to give importance to it. It's in his blood. Like that, the niyat of akhirah and the niyat of finding Allah and gaining the marifat and muhabbat of Allah, and we are in this world for Allah's ibadat, and we are in this world for akhirat. Like that, it must be ingrained in us. No matter, your button factory must come after that. Your socks factory afterwards, your warehouse after that, whatever business you are doing, This is the important, like that, that niyat must come into us. And we must live our life according to that, inshallah. The other thing is that the importance of the Quran Sharif, the du'as that we read from Munajat-e-Maqbool, 20-25 wastas, 20-25 things were presented, and what great things were presented, so that the Quran can become ingrained in us. That the Quran Sharif mixes with our blood, is the air we breathe in, is the blood that flows in our body, so important. And all this year, we see that for nothing else were so many wastas given when making dua. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's duas, for nothing else did he present so many things that, Ya Allah, because of this, because of this, because of this, because of this, grant me this. For the Quran Sharif, the most wastas have been given. So that also should make us understand how important the Quran Sharif is in our life. And we should be living the Quran Sharif. So with regard to the rights of the Quran Sharif, we mentioned that we must have complete and convincing and unflinching iman on the whole Quran, every ayat, every command of the Quran Sharif. Then secondly, we must have the love and respect and honor for the Quran Sharif to the greatest extent also. Thirdly, we must learn the Quran Sharif, ta'allume Quran, we must learn the Quran Sharif. Fourthly, we must recite the Quran Sharif, and that is mostly for us, that is what applies. Alhamdulillah, from the analysis of the brothers that have given, only about 48 brothers gave their papers, and from that analysis, the vast majority are on par. There are few who are reading still very little, but the vast majority on par. And what is the good news is that some have already read 315 suparas. Is it 315? That means 10 khatams already. Today is the 8th Roza, and 10 khatams already. That means more than a khatam a day. This should be what we should also target. And the targets that have been made also are very good, mashallah. A few are under the level, but the vast majority are right, are fair, and some of them up to, what's the last one? 35 khatams for the month of Ramadan. So this also should encourage us. And these are also human beings like us. They also have to eat and sleep. They also have to go to toilet. They have to do, and they're taking part in the programs also here and here. And another very important thing, as far as the programs, some of our brothers are not attending the programs properly. Remember, here there are two aspects of spending one's Ramzan. One is for ibadah, that you could do in any masjid. You could choose a quiet, small masjid where there are very few people, and whole day you could make ibadah. And Ramzan is for ibadah also. And the other is islah. And for that, you need somebody to make your islah. Grammatically also, our great ulama have proven that for islah, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written that according to English grammar, you get a transitive verb and an intransitive verb. That means one verb is you need a doer to do it. And the other one is you don't need a doer. Like, for example, just for us to understand very simply for us, to kick the ball can't get kicked itself. You have to have somebody. The boy kicks the ball. The man kicks the ball. There has to be somebody who kicks it. And to sleep, you don't need a doer. You just fall asleep. So there's no doer. You just fall asleep. So the verb islah in Arabic is that verb that needs a doer. It doesn't happen on its own. So even grammatically it proves that for islah, you need somebody to make your islah. You can't make your islah. Many people, and very sadly, many ulama who study all this grammar of Arabic, they make the mistake that we can make our own islah. After they have studied Arabic, and they know that islah is that verb that you need a doer, a subject, the one who does the action. But mostly it is ulama who feel we can make our own islah. We don't need anyone to guide us. And in that, those of us who have become bad, and who are coming for majlis, etc., we also should not fool ourselves. Many become bad, but they still don't take Islam from the Shia. They do their own thing. They don't make mashura about anything. They just decide on themselves. And some don't even inform what we are doing. About dini matters, your dunya matters are separate. But that also they don't inform. No real contact also with the sheikh. No correspondence with the sheikh. A person doesn't benefit in that way. So this is very, very important when a person understands. And for that, our khanqah here is more for islah. So you can understand, for example, if for it was for ibadat, like many places, the people go, they gather by the sheikh, and the object is ibadat, then taraweeh will be very slow also. And it will, lot of time will be given between the four rakats. Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib Harroi, Rahmatullah Ali, after about 8-12 rakats, so much time is given that people will bring their tea also, they have some biscuits, tea also, they go and make coffee, they go to toilet, they make fresh wuzu again, then announcement is made. Come get ready, we're starting with namaz again, like that. In other words, the ibadat aspect is given more emphasis. But then there aren't the programs as such. There are, but not the emphasis is not, it's just both are necessary everywhere. Yeah, also ibadat is also necessary, and also islah is necessary. It's just a matter where the emphasis is more. Yeah, our emphasis is on the islah. And therefore, we don't stress on brothers to sit for itikaf. Last 10 days we must sit. But like that we don't stress. The more important thing is to be concerned of our islah. And for that, our programs, to attend the programs is very, very important. And all the whole thing, as we tried, Allah knows best, but we have tried to design it such a way that the complete islah of a person, he gets on the move and on complete islah. And if we leave out any aspect, like you're doing a jigsaw puzzle, and if one piece is left out, that whole thing is incomplete. It's not complete. So just like that, or like you have your house, you build the best house, palace you build, but you forgot to make a toilet in that. That palace of yours is incomplete. You need a toilet, though it's such a thing that you don't like. You don't like to go spending time in the toilet, but you need a toilet. You can't do without it. If you made everything and you did not put in that palace a kitchen, it's also incomplete, though it's a palace. But a kitchen will also be necessary. Bathroom will be necessary, and a little place to store your brooms, etc. You need that place also. Only if everything is there and everything is functional and operational, then is it a complete, perfect, beautiful house. So like that, our whole program also, unless we don't fit in every aspect, then there's going to be a deficiency, and we won't get the true benefit of coming to the khanqah. And we might even get a lopsided view. We won't get a balanced view of what the khanqah is about. So inshallah, all brothers should try and attend all the programs and attend them regularly and give preference to the ijtimai programs over our infiradi, our collective programs over our individual programs. Many shaitan also put that I have to go and read my Quran Sharif. Let me go and read my Quran Sharif. I have to do this. I have to finish my ma'mulats. Let me go and finish them. Oh, I'm tired. Let me sleep. And then you go and sleep away. Then the time for sleeping, now you are away. Then you upset your whole system and everything goes upside down. Just make that little sabr and then you go sleeping time to sleep and see how you'll enjoy the sleep. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Further, with the rites of the Quran Sharif, the one was, we just said now, was tilawat of Quran, then amal bil Quran, and then ta'aleem, to teach the Quran. Each one of us see that how can we be involved in teaching the Quran Sharif. And even if you teach somebody just alif ba ta ta, or you just teach him a surah, a non-Muslim, you're teaching him qul huwallahu ahad. And it won't be easy, it will take long, their tongues are not accustomed to it. But you make effort, you teach him qul huwallahu. What great rewards by Allah Ta'ala. So everyone It's not that you have to be a hafiz or a qari or an alim to teach. Who doesn't know qul huwallahu ahad? Who doesn't know alhamdu sharif? Teach the person the kalima, teach him Quran sharif, surahs, and a person who reverts to Islam, his first, amongst his first duties is that he learns so much Quran sharif by which his namaz will be correct. And without being negligent of the duty, till then his namaz will be made, reading subhanallah in his namaz. But he must not be negligent in learning. And as soon as he can, he must have learned Surah Fatiha and at least one surah which he can repeat also. But four surahs better, and all the requisites of namaz which are necessary, those things he must learn. And that every one of us can teach somebody. If the girl at home, working, helper, she became a Muslim, the housewife can teach her those things. The person who's working in the shop with us, he became a Muslim or a customer, you can ask him for every day 10, 15 minutes or 2, 3 times a week. And it's our duty. Not that we can, it's our duty that we don't put the whole burden on Maulana. That now you just send him away to Maulana, to Imam Sahib. Imam Sahib must see to that. Our work is dunya's work. Our work is not. Now get him and then to put the final touches and to try and correct, and then by all means send him to a qari, send him to the Maulana, send him to Imam Sahib. By all means, but each one must get involved in teaching. Then the next rite of the Quran Sharif is tabligh Quran, to propagate the Quran Sharif. That is the message of the Quran Sharif. The kitab itself, to propagate it, to send it to places where they haven't got. For example, perhaps all of us who are sitting here, we have got not one, but perhaps 5, 10 Quran Sharifs in the house, but not one reciter also. Nobody to recite. We got so many copies of the Quran Sharif. And without any exaggeration, in this time of today, at this moment, there are thousands or perhaps millions of Muslims who haven't got one copy of the Quran Sharif also. Just to give you an idea, not very many years ago, here in northern Mozambique, where the three provinces, where they are predominantly Muslim people, almost 100% it was 100% at one time. Unfortunately, the numbers are dwindling. And that is also because we are unmindful of our deen. There, the NGOs, the Christian missionaries, the way they are working, they go and make a base there, and from before Fajr, that means before sunrise, they are out on their rounds working. And they only come back again after sunset. Whole day they are working. There are those places where there were maktabs also. And the ustad came, no students. Found out where are the students? They all gone to the church. Why? They are giving them free soup. They are giving them blankets. They are giving them food, clothing, etc. So children are children. Poor people are poor people, desperate people. That is what is happening. There are those towns right at this moment as I'm speaking in these places, where there were 10 masjids in a village, all 100% Muslim. 7 of them have become churches. Then who made them churches? Not the NGOs. The Muslim became Christians. So they know they don't need a masjid anymore in their life. They need a church. They have become Christians. So that same masjid, they made it into a church. And this is happening right at our doorstep. So it's our duty that we try and work in these places. And we take the message of the Quran to those people. So in those places, alhamdulillah, my ustad, Maulana Ibrahim Mia Sahib of Watif Al-Islamic Institute, Mia's Farm, they're doing a lot of work on there. They've got a lot of madaris there. Maulana Gora Saliji, Muhammad Saliji of IG Hussein of Durban, he also is running quite a few madrasas in those places. Other people are also working. So in these places, Maulana Ibrahim Mia explained that once they were walking out in the jungle, they saw one man walking and a woman behind him, his wife in all probability, and he was having a piece of paper and he was reading. And as he was reading, she was repeating after him. It was Quran, they haven't got a whole Quran Sharif. One page of the Quran Sharif. 1, 2 ayats written. And they look at them while they are walking, going to their house, going for whatever work they are going. But they are busy learning Quran. And we got so many Qurans in our houses, we haven't got time to read. The first time, Maulana Ibrahim Mia Sahab, Dhamat Barakatum explains, when they went there, then they took their Quran, their personal Quran Sharifs to read. And this was the first time, so they didn't still know the conditions. Those people came and begged them for Quran. They say, we haven't seen a Quran Sharif. In our whole life, we haven't seen a Quran Sharif. They are born Muslims, but they haven't seen a Quran Sharif. And they gave them their personal ones. Naturally, whenever you give out something like that, you gave for one person today, next day 100 people come. But they didn't have any more Quran Sharif. Those people said, okay, let us just touch the hand that has touched the Quran Sharif. How much they appreciate. But they haven't got. So, mashallah, we should try and work. Sautul Quran, who are doing with regard to Quran Sharif, one of their missions is to ship Quran Sharifs to these places. So we should try and get in touch with them. If we can do it personally, wherever in the world, there are lots of places, in India, in Pakistan, we will be surprised what the condition of deen, how much we have to sacrifice for deen, how much is required. And these are those places where they haven't even seen a Quran Sharif. They haven't touched a Quran Sharif. So we should learn to we got so many Quran Sharifs, take our own, extra what we have got, 5 copies which we won't use. Send it there. How many of us can afford? How much does one Quran Sharif cost money-wise? Give donation and try and see that this work gets done. That we send away 100 Quran Sharifs, 500 Quran Sharifs, and they get distributed correctly also. How many masjids in our country, there aren't proper Quran Sharifs in the masjids also. So every masjid, and mashallah, some of our friends, Allah reward them, they made the effort not only to go to every masjid and pack all the shelves and keep them neat and tidy, but Quran Sharifs that did not have covers, they put covers on them also. So the khidmat of the Quran Sharif. So to propagate and send Quran Sharifs is also one great mission in our life, and which we should try and make part of our life. How lucky and how fortunate and how much joy shouldn't it give to a person if he gave somebody a Quran and that person is reading it daily. You yourself cannot perhaps read daily, but somebody is reading, to whom you gave a Quran Sharif and is reading it daily. How much joy won't it bring to you? So that is one. Then the message of the Quran, we must propagate the message also. And everywhere, and this is necessary. For example, right in our homes, we should have regular discussions of the Quran Sharif. Acquaint ourselves properly, and then on the basis of the Quran, give the message to the wife also. Like for example, this kitab on social etiquette, the relationship between husband and wife, how important, isn't it? And it is necessary in each one of our homes. The wife's mind must be made. So the teachings of the Quran, the wife must also think according to the Quran. Today our problem is, you discuss with your young daughter, 17, 18 year old, you can't get through to her. Her thinking is, you send her to school and university. Her thinking is not Quran thinking. Her thinking is all her science and maths. And all her science. And remember, language in the schools is not taught as a language. It is taught more as an ideology, as a way of life. It is taught more as a certain, it is in a certain trend. I'll just explain this, which is also, inshallah, a very important and hopefully beneficial for all of us. Around about the 90s, early 90s, the government, the old government, they had a seminar on education. Not from Islamic point of view, nothing, government was doing it. All about education, that in which direction is our education going, what are we doing, what is important, not important, beneficial, what can we add, what can we, all the details of it. One pertinent point that came up in that seminar was that, why do we teach Shakespeare? At matric level, why do we teach Shakespeare? It's old English, thou, thee, English, and nobody speaks in that type of language anymore today. So they did not make any bones about it. They did not chew their words. They said, the object of teaching Shakespeare, our object of giving a child a matric certificate. And a matric certificate is given only if you pass English. If you pass English, if you fail, if you pass all your other subjects with distinctions, but you fail English, you haven't passed Matri. You have to pass English. And English is made up of three parts. The grammar of the language, then the composition and essay writing and letter writing, and literature. And the major part, two-thirds of it, is given to literature. That is studying the books, etc. And in literature, the most important is Shakespeare's books. And that is intensive study, not just casually. You have to study it in depth. In detail you have to study. And the reason for this is, they told that, so without studying Shakespeare so much, the two novels, or one novel of his, whichever books he wrote, or in his poems that he wrote, until you haven't put it into your blood and into your, you study till 1 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock at night, you enter for extra classes and that, it has become part of your life. So they say that what our object is when we give a student a matric certificate, it's not a matric certificate, a paper. It's not your gateway to university. It's not your rosy certificate. Rosy is only in the hands of Allah. According to them also, it is that now we are satisfied that this person's mind and heart has become a Western, modern and Christian mind. Three things, that we have now made the mind of this person a Western, modern, Christian mind. So that is why they're giving that certificate. Whoever has matriculated, and in order to remove that, lot of effort is needed. Go in Jamaat, make effort. Go by Buzurgs and make effort. But just like that you said, that thing is sitting in you. And it is in your heart, that Western, modern, Christian, and this is not what I'm saying. This was in that seminar, and they say the only way that we can achieve this is by Shakespeare. By studying Shakespeare and studying it in depth, intensive study, this is when it comes into a person. So, when I went to Madagascar, and this thing was worrying me, so I asked them there if they study Shakespeare, and there their main language is French language. So you'll study the book of some French man, but Shakespeare is translated into French. And in a translation, for language, you need that original. And a person who was a master in the language, and who did a masterpiece in that language. Like for the English, Shakespeare or Milton and all these people, Holmes, whoever they are. But they translated Shakespeare's work into French. So just see how much they want to ingrain that into a person. And this is the effort throughout the world. We only look at the surface of things, and you have a nut, a peanut, the original peanut. Many of us perhaps, I don't know if we have seen it also, we only see the clean peanut, but it comes in its shell. So if you just look at the shell and you are happy with the shell, and inside there is no peanut, sometimes some come out like that also, or it is it's made only half, or it is rotten. Now what's the use of it? Just the shell. So we just look at the top of education. We don't realize education is what a power. It is for that reason that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had declared al-ilmu nurun. That ilm, and how much fazilat of knowledge. Because knowledge is a great power. More power, it's a greater power than money. It is a greater power than arms and ammunition. And this is where they have camouflaged this whole thing of knowledge, and they are taking us for a ride, hook, line and sinker. And we're just going for it, and we don't understand. Just imagine also how they're making fools of us, that in order to be a teacher, those days when we were young, JC certificate, junior certificate, standard 8, class 10 certificate was enough. You could go for a teacher's training college. Now you need a matric. And now, then you need a bachelor's degree, etc. All these things they have made. But yet, how many of our Islamic schools in our country, the principals are not matriculants. But they have passed it, they have allowed it. Why? Because they want that system of theirs to work. So they've even made such a concession which you can't believe. That the person hasn't got no degree in education, but he's a principal of an institute. Which is really out of the question, it's impossible. But it's a reality. And they've made this concession just so that this education, this power tool of theirs, they can use it to its maximum, and they are using it. So I started this talk that this young girl of yours, daughter, 18 years, 17, your young son, you can't get through to him. He's got all that bhusa, all that sawdust in his head. That is what he has got. Now you speak to Quran to him. Quran is not your object of life. Now how are you going? So you have to make Quran, make it, bring it in the house. Your wife must think according to Quran. 99% of your problems are solved. If you think according to Quran, your wife thinks according to Quran. But your parents, if they think according to Quran, your children, if they think according to Quran, so we have to, it's not just going to happen, and it's no use screaming and crying and wailing and moaning that the people don't behave according to Quran. What effort did we make for Quran to come alive? The Quran is not one kitab that you have put into your cupboard, you put rose petals also and you sprinkle the scent also on it or some perfume and you shall fulfill the rites of the Quran Sharif. No, the Quran is not just for that. The Quran is must be living in the house. More than that, or before that, how many of our houses resemble the house which the Quran teaches? Our houses are 99%, if not 100%, all Western type houses. You give the plan first of all just to an architect. He is an open, open plan. Kitchen, open plan. There is no parda. The housewife is there busy preparing food. The people are sitting here in front. And you might not believe, we don't understand where they are leading us to. Now not only open plan kitchen, but open plan toilet also. That one of our friends, we were surprised that already, and I'm not talking of Europe now, and I'm not talking of America, but right in our area, one person wanted to use the toilet, he went and used it, next he realized that it's an open plan toilet. The people were seeing, not the bottom of his body, but he was sitting there, and usually in a toilet you might be doing funny things also, pricking your nose also, and doing all other funny things also, nobody is watching you. And here he was being, all the people were watching. So their planning is according to their way of life. Animals live like animals. If you're a human being, you live like a human being. There is sharam, haya, modesty, and sharam in your life. So these are, the house also is not according to what the Quranic type of life. Yet I'm a very pious person. Just because I've got a beard, topi, kurta, I make 5 times namaz and that, and I observe certain things of Islam, that makes me a super Muslim. But your lifestyle is not also according to Islam. And in order to understand the importance of it, and also to get a vivid idea, picture, that if our lifestyle is not according to Islam, then how serious it is. For example, one of your musallis, you're the imam in the masjid, your musallis went for umrah. And when he came back, he brought for the Imam Sahib Zamzam water. But now he pours the Zamzam in where? In a beer bottle. Castle Lager beer bottle. He cleaned it properly. It's clean. Not a drop of beer is left. But now the Imam Sahib, he came, Manana, I brought this Zamzam for you. You took it home, you put it in your fridge. And some visitors came, they opened the fridge, Manana's house, Castle Lager bottle, beer bottle. So the inside, now he'll say, and everyone thinks according, al-mar'u yaqisu ala nafsihi, his own thinking. He say, what's wrong with these people? What they looking at the bottle? Look inside, is zamzam inside. Zamzam from Makkah, pure, not adulterated zamzam, mixed zamzam, pure zamzam. But those people are not looking what is inside, they looking on the outside. So to give somebody zamzam is mubarak, but to give him in a beer bottle, so just like that, our Islam, but in completely in a Western way of life. You are making your 5 times namaz, you are doing everything, but your whole house, your lifestyle, without the holidays in your year, and without every, without prize, everything, their lifestyle. sitting at the table and eating, complete Western way of life, our couches we sit on, etc. Everything, no sign of a Quranic way, what Quran teaches, what kind of a lifestyle you must have. All that is totally the Western way. Or a person, that's a person who went for Umrah, he brought khajur of Medina, and he brought ajwa from you, he brought sukkari for you, he brought rutab for you, wonderful khajur of Medina Sharif. But he wrapped it in dead pages of the newspaper where the filthy, dirty women advertised themselves. And there are some pictures also on there. And then he gave it, you came in, you put happy Medina Sharif khajur. With respect, you put it in an honorable place. And the pictures and the pages of the newspaper with that filth and dirt of those prostitutes, all that. Somebody come, manana, so much respect you give to this person, to this all, to this filthy, dirty woman. He say, look what is inside, is khajur of Medina. So khajur of Medina, mubarak, mashallah, what to say about it. But on the outside, this filth and dirt. So you got iman in your heart. You got namaz, you got Quran in your life, in your deen, in your life, everything. But on the outside, you got this filth and dirt of a Western lifestyle, dressing like a non-believer, and you don't dress, but you live. You don't dress like a non-believer, you got kurta, topi, burqa you wearing. But you're living in a house where there is no sign of Islam. So bring Quran Sharif in our homes, propagate the Quran. Make everyone in the house think according to Quran Sharif. And the broad principles, you don't have to be a big allama and a big mufassir to know the details. But who don't know this, that Quran teaches simplicity. And that the Quran teaches sharam and haya, modesty. The Quran teaches sincerity, not for worldly things and for worldly gain. Those are the basic things which everyone knows. Bring those values into our house. Those are the important things. So we must propagate the Quran. So have ta'aleem in the house. Ta'aleem you can have of so many. Fadail-e Amal. Read regularly. It works miracles. Just to give you an idea, and this is not so very long ago, some time ago, but not so very long, a pious man who was fully religiously inclined, everything. He one day came home and his daughters, who had all become now teens, in their later teens, 17, 18, 19, they demanded to have a TV in the house. And he was a man for namaz, for deen life, everything, and he was surprised that they are demanding this. And the wife also sided with them. And they demanded we must have TV and that whole lifestyle, what goes VCR, the video machine and everything that goes with it. He became very, very worried, very perturbed, adamant, these things cannot happen. They told him, if you don't want to give it to us, you get out of the house. His house, and he must get out. And they will live in the house. And not only that, according to what the shares are supposed to be, what in his money, it's his money, it's not their money. But they say, what our shares work out in your money, give us our money also, and you get out. He was very disturbed, but fortunately he was bayat with Hazrat Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali Shaykhul Hadith. He went and tell Hazrat this, I got a very big problem in my house. How to Hazrat? And this is the work of the Mashayikh. A big problem, they make it small. Cut it down to say, he say, no big problem. You'll overcome this, it already relieves so much of your problem. Hazrat said, all you do is start ta'aleem in the house. Fazail-e Amal Kitab, Fazail-e Sadaqat, Fazail-e Amal, you start with this. And tell them 23 hours, 50 minutes, you can do what you want to. You want to bring TV, VCR, you want to have dance party, and you want to have your way of life, and I will pay for everything. But 10 minutes you promise you'll give me. They said, it's a very sasta soda, very cheap deal, that only for 10 minutes and 23 hours, 10 minutes, we can do what we want to. They were happy. 10 minutes, ta'aleem started in the house. And the rest, they were doing their thing. Hardly 2 weeks passed. When he came in one day back home, he saw they themselves threw out the TV. And they smashed and broke it up. This ta'aleem, we underestimate the value and power of ta'aleem. So have this ta'aleem. Then Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali's kitab, mashallah, his Murideen and Khulafa has made an Islahi Nisab of about 10 kitabs. read the from this. And these kitabs that have been prepared, mashallah, Allah reward the brothers on all these various aspects of deen, on aqaid, on ibadat, muamalat. These kitabs, hopefully in this year, if Allah wishes, they will be printed, then make ta'aleem of that. But in, this is all Quran Sharif. And don't also be influenced by Salafis who say that directly the Quran Sharif or the Hadith you must follow. No, these are all these kitabs are 100% based on the Quran. Fadail-e Amal is on the Quran and Hadith. Fadail-e Sadaqat, all these kitabs are all, they are based on Quran and Hadith. It is Quran's teachings and it is necessary for us to propagate it. How many of us are having ta'aleem in our homes? And to a regular ta'aleem, not just casually or now and then. And without this, we don't do the ta'aleem in the house. We don't have tilawat in the house. We don't make some nafil namaz at home. Only the woman make the namaz. Man must also some make some namaz at home. For us, with jamaat in the masjid, but make some namaz. Tilawat, zikr. These things are all which pull the rahmat of Allah. Then see, for example, Hazrat Maulana Mazhar Sahib, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali's illustrious son, he says that not long ago, salam was common in the ummah. Everyone should make salam. Everywhere there was salam. When there was salam, there was salamati. There was peace everywhere. We never heard of the diseases which we're hearing now. Cancer so common. Heart problem so common. AIDS so common. HIV so common. Never heard about these things. There was salamity. Then there, in the families there was love and understanding. The families were united. There was salamity in the families. As far as financial matters were concerned, even if a person didn't have much, but there was salamity. He was happy with what he had. When salam has gone out, and also remember, by Allah there is no vacuum. It isn't that salam is gone. In its place, hello has come. And hello, as we explained, it's made up of two words, hell and low. So hell's life has come into our homes. And this hell phone, where all the time, hello, hello, hell has come into our lives. So we are living a life of hell. So we find there is nobody, no matter how much money you got, no chain, no salamity. No matter what good health you got, no salamity. Even the family can be united. And you are united on wrong things. There is no salamity, no peace of mind, no happiness. Because we have taken out salamity. So the salam in the house, Quran Sharif tilawat, ta'aleem, namazes in the house, this all pulls Allah's rahmat. And whenever, wherever these takes place, malaika abound in that place. And where the malaika abound, it's your connection with Jannah. And Jannah's life you get in this dunya already. Allah gives you happiness, contentment and serenity in your life. And if you got all the other wrong things, TV, video and dance parties and barbecues and brides and mixing of the sexes and all those wrong things, then shaitan comes there. There are photos in the house on the TV screen, all filthy, dirty photos. And we got photo emblems on our albums, on our phones we got photos. All these things, this invites shaitan. And that is, you have made your connection with Jahannam. And that Jahannam's life, which Allah explains in the Quran Sharif, لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. There is no death in there, and no life also. Like a person in a coma, you can't go and bury him. But he can't do anything, he's got no life, he can't eat also. He can't even lift his hand on his own. He can't do his own toilet also. But you can't go and bury him also. He's not dead also, he's not living. He's a useless person, he's a burden on everyone else. Like that, the life of Jahannam is like that. La yamutu fiha wala yahya. So whoever, all these wrong things in our lifestyle and in our homes. So connection with Jahannam. So we find people, they are living. But they got, like for example, we the Muslims, that we are living people, we're not dead, but we got no say in any of our matters. In our dini matters, the non-Muslims are governing us. They are ruling over us. So you can't call that life also. Another quality of Jahannam, يَأْتِيهِ الْمَوْتِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانِ وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتِ. That maut comes to him from every side, but he doesn't die off. Like for example, a person has got cancer, he dies now, and all say also, and even close family people start making dua, if he dies now, he's better. How much he's suffering, he's in so much pain, we can't see it also. Or some other thing, or he was burned terribly in an accident, he's in a terrible coma and his brain death, and we also wish inside, that if Allah shows a miracle, it's different. But otherwise, rather if he dies now, he's also in peace. So, and also with regard to this, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali Jazahumullah Khair, he said that, sab kehte hai, ghabra ke sab kehte hai, ap mar jayenge. Becoming very agitated and parishan. What is happening? What's in my life? What problems I get? I rather die now is better. Mar ke bhi chain na paaya, to ap kidhar jayenge. And after dying, you didn't find peace in your qabr. Now where are you going to? And then after that, you're not going to die also. So that is the more important thing. So anyway, so this connection of Jahannam, if that is made, we do the amal of Jahannam, you yourself connect yourself with Jahannam. Then the results of Jahannam come to you. You do the amal, your lifestyle is anti-Islamic lifestyle. Your thinking is against, not only not Quran, it is against Quran your thinking. Without matric certificate, without university degree, you can't live. How are you going to earn your rosy? You can't live. Today say, also if you don't want to do that whatever you're studying, but just get the degree. As if a degree is the giver of rosy. Our yaqeen has become that the Western education, matric, college, university, that is the giver of rosy. And that person's basic iman is not made. Everyone, a basic iman that Allah is the giver of rosy. And it is on this basis that Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said that, rather than going to the schools and spoiling one's iman, rather remain your whole life a street sweeper. That you do, rather do dishwashing and earn your little rosy. But instead of losing your iman, in that you go and learn Darwin's theory of evolution. You learn the Big Bang story and that becomes your iman, those things. Then rather than that, you rather live a simple life. And you just do on the bare necessities of life, but your iman stays intact. And where is the logic of those things? You do all those things to go permanently to Jahannam. As one doctor friend of ours wanted to admit his son at a university, not his daughter, his son at a university. And when he went to the university and he saw the environment, he said that, I thought I'm out of South Africa. I'm somewhere in Europe. And the environment of the universities here, out of the, in the world, it is a field of just entertainment and just all terrible things are happening there. The name is university, but inside what is, ask those who are inside. How many, not one, not two, not 10, not 20, how many boys, girls who were forced to go there, they had to just come out, they couldn't stay there. And he, on what he said further, that I must pay huge amounts of money monthly in order to send my child to Jahannam. I must pay so much money to send him to Jahannam. I don't need that in my life. So we don't understand. So anyway, our lifestyle, and so as I said, we make this different wrong lifestyle, which is not only not Quran, but which is against Quran. And then after that, we made the connection with Jahannam. Now the conditions of Jahannam come into our lives, come into our homes, and then we are crying and moaning that I got so many problems, I don't know which way to turn, I don't know what is the result, I want to commit suicide. Where the road of Jahannam is there, and that is a place where no death also comes, where you just suffer and suffer and perpetually you suffer. And this is called intelligence and learn it, that you enjoy for a churi deer ki lazzat, hamisha ki zillat. Little while of some enjoyment outward, not even real enjoyment. We don't even understand what is enjoyment. Love is one thing, to be infatuated is one thing. And today illicit love affairs are enjoyable. And your halal wife is not enjoyable. Your halal is not enjoyable, haram is enjoyable. The example of that is, a person enjoys feces, a stool, and urine, the filth and dirt of the street woman. And his halal wife, who is a Muslim, in most cases a born Muslim, otherwise she's a revert Muslim. And she's a Muslim in any case. And she became halal for you in the name of Allah. And most probably in the masjid. And a alim, a pious person made her halal for you. And in the presence of a whole Muslim jamaat, but she doesn't appeal to you. No enjoyment in her. And that filthy, dirty woman, you get enjoyment in there. So this is what direction we are going. So we just look at it on the surface, but we don't realize the reality of these things. So we must bring Quran Sharif alive. Our minds must become Quran Sharif. Our hearts must become Quran. Our home must become Quran. We must become Quran. Our lifestyle must become Quran. And then your connection is with Jannah. And without any doubt, then not only theoretically this is proven, historically. All the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam who lived their lives according to the divine revelations of Allah Ta'ala. All the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, all the awliya, and awliya are not only what we think, big buzurg. He may be an ordinary person, ordinary, no title, no recognition from anyone, but he is observing the commands of Allah, the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is a wali. Nobody might recognize him, but by Allah he is a wali. These people here, what enjoyment, what lives of enjoyment they are having. No parishani, no stress, no strain, no pressure. They just enjoying life. Yeah, already. And like we are reading in the kitab, Shorti Watan, after Zohar Namaz. And in there we see that if you bring this type of life already in dunya, Allah is giving you this enjoyment. And when you will die, at that time what enjoyments? At the time when people are giving you ghusl, your ruh is a separate entity. Your body is a separate entity and your ruh is separate. At the moment we don't seem to make the difference. It has become joined up. It is like one. But at the time of maut it separates. That time the ruh looks over the body. And the ruh says, oh, people are taking off my clothes. It knows what is happening. People are giving me ghusl. And whoever is speaking good about you, that report, the malaika tell you that this is beforehand good information for what's going to come in Jannah is going to come. But all are talking good about you. He was a pious person. He was a good man. He was doing this. He was doing that. Already they giving you that information. Already, yeah. As you are walking to carrying your janazah to the Qabristan and the people are talking, all the malaika come and tell you. And they tell you, see how good they speaking about you. So that is for that wali of Allah Ta'ala. And there are many of Allah such walis. They just may seem as ordinary people. Nobody recognizes them and nobody will give them big titles or anything. But what is it to be a wali? To observe Allah's commands according to sunnah. To stay away from all haram and all najais things. That you are a wali by that already. And what great enjoyments you are blessed with. So we have to, this Quran Sharif, we have to bring it into our lives. So the propagation of the Quran. Then much more also, when you go to a wedding, any social gathering, propagate the Quran. You don't become that the people overtake you. Why are you so weak? Discussion, soccer starts, cricket starts, politics starts. Change the direction. That our success is only in deen. In your business ventures, in your business places, bring the talk onto deen. Make them understand. We have to propagate the Quran. Everywhere, wherever we are, talk about the teachings of the Quran Sharif. Talk about that lifestyle, connection with Jannah. Bring making our lives in this dunya of Jannah. We must bring it. And do it also in a suitable way. Not that people they want to spit you out. That this man here, he knows nothing else. Speak in a nice way with your children also. That their old man goes lecturing again. And there the bayan starts again. The old CD again, from the start is starting again. Not in that way that the people don't like it. Learn also, the Quran Sharif is that kitab which started with Alhamdulillah. Quran is that kitab which started with teen, with zaytun. That first, give them ni'mats of dunya. Give them nice sweets also. Give them an ice cream also. And then tell them something about deen also. Don't only one way start lecturing about deen and nothing else. One friend of mine, He's lecturing his younger brother all about namaz, etc. And he told his brother, one roza you must in Ramzan. You have to keep 3 months consecutive rozas. Your own masala, where that masala comes out from. So then his mother told him that don't only speak about this. You will bring wrong things in his mind. So a person, see the capacity of a person. Anzilun nas manazilahum. According to a level of a person, speak to the person. Don't give a heavy dose to a person who can't take even a light dose. A person who is dying of thirst, don't dare give him a teaspoon of water, you'll kill him. You have to immerse a cloth in water and then one drop must go. If he was dehydrated to that extent, you can't even give him a teaspoon of water, you'll kill him. That dose is too heavy, 1 teaspoon of water. He needs only 1 little drop of water. And slowly, slowly, when he has strength, he'll drink a whole liter of water also afterwards. So everything has to be done gradually. So deen also, when you want to propagate the Quran Sharif, do it learn how to do it. And that is why we have come here. And those who keep contact with Mashaykh, not from a distance, but close contact, they will see that they will pick up all these points and how to teach. A person who hasn't got a beard, you don't go left, right and center and lecturing him on the beard. Person who is not making 1 namaz and you telling him fazilats of tahajjud namaz. He's not even making faraz namaz. How to go to a person and meet him on his level. These are also very important. May Allah give us the proper understanding and guide us to righteousness. Wa akhiru da'wana.